بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا ونبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين، أدى الأمانة وبلغ الرسالة ونصح الأمة وكشف بها الغمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده. Respected elders and brothers, our friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and ahlan wa sahlan, and welcome to our weekly program. First of all, we make dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. May Allah accept the hajj of the hujjaj. May Allah grant him hajj mabrur and sa'y mashkur. May Allah bring them safely to home. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala write for each and every Muslim hajj inshaAllah in his lifetime. May Allah accept the effort of the hujjaj. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala fulfill the labbaik of each and every Muslim who's longing to see the haram of Allah and the city of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala accept the hajj of our hujjaj inshaAllah. May Allah reward those who are trying to go for hajj and they could not get it. May Allah write for them the ajr of hajj inshaAllah. And we ask Rabbul Izzah tabarak wa ta'ala, may Allah fill the qabr of our marhumeen with mercy and rahmah and nur. May Allah grant the family of marhumeen sabr and ajr. And may Allah grant shifa to those who are ill. May Allah make it easy for those who are in difficulties. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala ease the life of muslimin inshaAllah. Brother and sister in Islam, once again we say shukran for all you respond to our program. And we ask Rabbul Izzah tabarak wa ta'ala, may Allah use all of us as a servant of deen, as a khidmat of deen inshaAllah. On your behalf, I'd like to thank my young engineer tonight and Brother Yusuf and all our friends. I don't know the name of the engineer. Tahir. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward our young man here tonight is Tahir. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all our young boys to serve Deenul Islam inshaAllah. Before I go ahead with my program, I'd like to thank our respected sisters who's asking the dua for waking up for Salatul Fajr. And we know that Salatul Fajr is a sign of Iman. Those who wake up for Fajr, or those who knows the value of Suratul Fajr. This Surah in Quran is called Suratul Fajr. Allah made Qasam with Suratul Fajr because how important, Inna Quran al-Fajr kana mashhuda. Once you read Salatul Fajr, you joining the Malaika and the Malaika listening to your recitation on Salatul Fajr. If you read Salatul Fajr, you are not munafiq. You are not hypocrite. And then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala did say that sahri time, waqtu sahar, it's the time of accepting dua, istighfar, it's the investment of akhirah. Dua al-sahar, siham al-qadr. If you want to have a good taqdeer, wake up in before fajr and read that dua al-sahar. Read the dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us love Salatul Fajr and fulfill the haqq of Salatul Fajr. Now, they're asking the Aisha radiallahu anha, how can we defeat that shaitan who comes to us and stop us from Salatul Fajr? Aisha radiallahu anha said that you have to read any ayah from Suratul Kahf. When you read in before you sleep, you read one ayah or two from Suratul Kahf. And then you read it three times. Then you said, Allahumma la tu'ammini makrak. You make this dua. Allahumma la tu'ammini makrak. Wa la takshif anni sitrak. Wa la tunsini dhikrak. Wa la tuwallini ghayrak. وَلَا تَجْعَلْنِي مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. This dua, very, very important dua, Aisha radiallahu anha told the Sahaba, and we have to practice it. اللهم لا تؤمني مكرك ولا تكشف عني سترك ولا تنسني ذكرك ولا تولني غيرك ولا تجعلني من الغافلين. This dua, if you look at the meaning of this dua, not only for Salatul Fajr, for Hifadha and for renewing your Iman. Allahumma la tu'minni makrak, it means, Oh Allah, don't let me miss Salatul Fajr. Because those who miss Salatul Fajr, they miss a lot of rizq. And Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to wake up his family and say, wake up, Allah is distributing the rizq. Come and pick up your rizq. وَلَا تَكْشِفْ عَنِّي سِتْرًا. And oh Allah, do not remove the veil from me, the concealing, the satr. Ya Allah, don't expose my secret. وَلَا تُنْسِنِي ذِكْرًا. Do not let me amongst those who are heedless, those who forget the haqq of Allah. وَلَا تُوَلِّنِي غَيْرًا. It means, oh Allah, do not let me rely on someone else besides you for rizq or tawakkul. وَلَا تَجْعَلْنِي مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. Oh Allah, don't put me amongst those who are unaware or heedless of salah, which the salah give you the rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Aisha radiallahu anha said, you sleep on wudu, and you say, أَيُّهَا الْمَلَكْ, oh the angel, الْمُوَكَّلْ, the one who look after me, أَيْقِذْنِي لِصَلَاةِ الْفَجْرِ. Oh the angel, wake me up for Salatul Fajr. Definitely, you will have some reason to wake up for Fajr. Your son will cry, the phone will ring, you will move, you will have something will let you wake up for Fajr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of us to fulfill the haqq of this ibadah which Allah made qasam with it. And I'd like to say shukran for all our listeners. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from any word of takfir. Many of the people, they talk about extremism. Why our young boys and girls, they are falling on that some sort of ghulu, they call it tashaddud, extremism. Now, how you know that yourself is mutashaddid or extremist? The one who say extremist person, the one who exceed the moderate deen of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People become extremist because when they lose hope, and then they become extremist because they misunderstand the hikmah, the wisdom, the message of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. People become extremist because they think moderation is a loose religion, or is not a proper deen. Moderate Islam is the sunnah to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People become extremist because they see some Muslim abusing the deen and disregard the deen. People become extremist because the ulama don't explain us what is moderation. People think that when you are moderate, it means you are not strong Muslim. Oh, people extremist because they don't understand. But why the extremism is very difficult and hard? Because they go for something that's called takfir. You're accusing another Muslim of kufr. I have a hadith mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim that Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man qala li akhihi ya kafir, faqad ba'a bihima ahaduhuma." Anyone who accuses his brother and he said to him, "Oh kafir, you are kufar, disbeliever," so he will get the same title for himself if that person is not. So it's very serious when you accuse the kufr or disbelief for the person, and when you claim that this person has no iman, or you attack his aqidah. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in 23 years, he did not make takfir for anyone, even the munafiq, the hypocrites. And you know the narration that person who said La ilaha illallah in the time of fight, and the sahabi killed him, and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, this man, he just said it to save his life." Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Did you open his chest and see iman and kufr, only the scale of iman?" So why we find some Muslims, especially young boys and girls, they run for that one? Because so many reasons. Jahl, they don't understand. And we remember that Imam al-Ghazali said, is to leave 1,000 disbeliever claiming that they are Muslim is better than to accuse one Muslim of kufr. You know, some people, they just put a topi and meet us and say, I'm a Muslim, help me. And then we discover after that they are not Muslim. They are just using the word of Allah. Allah reward you. But just to accuse someone of kufr, that is not... read about Imam al-Ghazali's opinion on that. Why do people fall on that takfir or to make accusing each other of kufr? They are ignorant. They don't have a sufficient knowledge. They don't have a proof. And they don't have the knowledge which is regarding the truth. And then they don't know something, it's called usuluddin, the main principle of deen. He doesn't know the value of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. They don't know how to open the chest of the person and check that the taqwa, only Allah knows about it. Or they don't know how to evaluate that person. Is he a sinner who transgressor or is a kafir? That is the serious thing. These people got something, it's called their own desire. They like to satisfy some thought of anger by running for that word, it's called takfir. It's not from Allah, it's from the person himself. Or they misunderstand or misinterpret the ayat of Allah. You take the meaning somewhere else because of his desire. That proof from the Quran he used, he did not understand it well. And this person doesn't know Nasikh wal Mansukh, the abrogated verses and the new verses which replace it. Oh, many of young boys and girls, they don't understand something, it's called the ease of Islam. Taha ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa. Oh, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we did not reveal Qur'an to let you suffer and you have that type of hardship. The ease of Islam, who that they seer, it is ibadah. Many people, they think that the permission or the rukhsa or the ijazat from Allah is not good thing. Like many of our sisters, when they break their fast on Ramadan, and then these people are not fasting. These women got haid, they got menstruation, they got the women's story. Allah from the seventh heaven told that lady, don't fast. And then the lady go to the kitchen softly and secretly and eat. When the husband or the brother or one of the family catch her, she feel that she's a criminal. She broke her fast and she's a kuffar. She feels shy and she feel that those people are fasting better than her. No, my friend. You did break your fast by ijazat of Allah, by the rukhsat of Allah. So, I want to tell my friend, when you have rukhsa, when you have ijazat from Allah, permission from Allah to do any act, it's also obedience of Allah, is ibadah. You will get the full reward. So I don't know why this lady, in the month of Ramadan, she go there inside the dark room and eat. So we tell her, says, you know, my children are going to laugh at me, who people think that I'm kuffar. You're not kuffar. Yuridu Allahu bikumul yusra. وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرِ. Allah wanted this way. لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. So it's not a discount from a mufti or the sheikh or alim. It's not a grant. It is from Allah. So when the mufti say halal, it's not a bounty for, or not a grant from the mufti. Oh, when Maulana tell you that is haram because Maulana don't want to give you a hard time. No. It is from Allah. And Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is happy when the person use the rukhsat of Allah. So, brother and sister in Islam, we have to understand that is not easy word, that when you accuse the person you are kafir or you're not Muslim or you're munafiq, because that it's in the hand of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And I'd like to say shukran to all our respected brothers, especially young boys and girls who listen to our program. May Allah reward you. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to pass the deen of Allah as Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave it to us. And when we just read one hadith of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you must make sure that this kalam, these words, also from Allah. Because our Nabi does not talk from his own. So, we believe that Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he says something, it's also from Allah. When he said to I just want to tell my younger brothers and sisters, من ترك لله شيئا عوضه الله خيرا من. I have to read this hadith again to my young boys and girls who are facing a very heavy challenge. There are so many fun and amusement, so many fitna. People are enjoying haram. And we see our young boys and girls, they feel that they are being deprived. No. If you leave that desire, or you leave that hobby which is haram, for the sake of Allah, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will compensate you with something better than it. And I believe that me and you, as a Muslims, we got so many things we're not allowed to do, but sometimes you like to do it. So whosoever died while that desire suppressed in his chest, which all of us like that, he will be the king of Jannah. He will be Malik min Muluk al Jannah. Many people want to go for Hajj, but they don't have means, or they can't get it, and they died. That is called Hajatahu fi Sadri. Many of us, we want money, we want a house, we want this and that. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, fully aware about that, He will compensate you better than it. Because I want to tell you that those people who stop that habit or that desire, especially those who get it for long term, and he's used to do it for many years, and he stop it, this 1 year, in the day of Qiyamah, Allah will count him as Mujahid, as a fighter for the sake of Allah. Many of us, we left the bad habit for some reason. But I want you to leave it lillah, for the sake of Allah. People don't want to make zina because they're scared of HIV and AIDS. No, before you think about HIV and AIDS, just leave it for Allah. Brother and sister in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a creator and He knows me and you. Whenever that desire getting hot and getting increased, so you hold it, so Allah will compensate you with a double and double. The more you strive for fighting that desire and you hold it, you increasing the payment on the day of Qiyamah. Ummatul Islam, Ummatul Islam, Kuffar, they don't want to be Muslim because of what I'm talking about now. You don't want to hold the desire, you don't want to stop that desire. That's why he like easy kufr. Brother and sister in Islam, if you leave something for the sake of Allah, haram one, you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the payment. Come, I show you what is the payment. Number one, al-unsu billah. What is it? Al-unsu billah, that you gain the companies of Allah. Allah will become your companion. So what is that? You get peace of mind, peace of heart, happy ending. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will let you forget about that, and you'll enjoy something better than it halal way. So many of us, we like to leave. But when we come to the action, we find it very difficult. So many of us, they like to ask people. But what about if you leave it, don't ask people, ask Allah and Allah will send people to you. So Sayyidina Ali said, ask as you whom you like, you will become his slave. And leave asking whom you like, you will become his competitor or his equal. You become equal. You will gain izzatun nafs. وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّرُهُ اللَّهِ. Whosoever just hold and make sabr, Allah will ease his way to make sabr. وَمَنْ يَسْتَعْفِفْ يَعِفُّهُ اللَّهِ. Whosoever try to be chaste, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the chaste and grant him the iffah. Many of us, we don't like some taqdeer. You know, the death, sickness, poverty. So, if you hold and you make sabr, and you just leave, do not complain the taqdeer of Allah. And you just say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Brother and sister in Islam, if you believe on Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, I know my friend was reading now the announcement, and you say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. I know it's a command for the mayyit, but we read this dua for any musibah. any musibah and any calamity or any difficulties happen to you, that the hadith said, even if you mess your shoes or you lost your shoes, just say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You know what you get after that? Ulaika alayhim salawatu min rabbihim wa rahma wa ulaika humul muhtadun. They will get the praising of Allah and mercy of Allah, and then ulaika humul muhtadun. Indeed, these people got hidayah. What is the rahmat of Allah will come to them after the calamity? Allah will lighten that calamity. Allah will let you understand why He made this one. Allah grant you wisdom, and Allah will never let you experience that again. If you read, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And then we got so many people like to run after dunya. I don't know, people misunderstand the work and money. Who told you that don't make money? But don't die because of money. Don't sacrifice your deen because of money. Don't let the dunya as your objective or your main target. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, make zuhud, renounce. Don't get sick of that dunya, chasing and running money after money. Because Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, anyone who just leave that feeling of chasing dunya, أَتَتْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَحْتَسِبْ. The dunya will come to you from somewhere that you will never expect it. And we did see in our life, people study for how many years to be what, and then he gained his money from somewhere else. Someone was planning to work here in South Africa, now he's gaining his money from America or from neighboring country, Allah knows. So, making money is ibadah, but you mustn't run after dunya or chase dunya, because richness, to be rich is a feeling in the heart. Another thing, we'd like also our sister in Islam to leave it for the sake of Allah. Jadu and sihr, that plague, magic and sihr. I know why I'm saying women, because when the men go there, it's because of a mashura of a woman. Make sabr, even if that sihr or that jadu is true. Make sabr like this woman. She said to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, inni usra, I fat on the street. I fell down on the street because I got some brain problem. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, usburi, you make sabr, you will guarantee Jannah. The lady said, I make sabr. Now we got something also in our life, we have to leave it. The fear from someone else besides Allah. I know the fear is a natural thing, it's a fitrah. You know, everyone gets scared. But don't make it more than the fear of Allah. Because once you fear only Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, Allah will secure you from any fear else. Everything will fear you. Yes. Remember the magician of Fir'aun? They used to fear Fir'aun. But once they fear Allah, they don't have that fear of Fir'aun at all, and Fir'aun fear them. When the person leave lies, for example, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you leave lies for the sake of Allah, that you become amongst the siddiqeen. You become amongst those who are truthful, and you will be written in the eyes of Allah as a siddiq. You know, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Maryam as-Siddiqa, right? Greatest person amongst the siddiqeen, the businessman, is very honest, don't lie while he's selling and buying. When we're having a problem, all of us, we have to leave it. And I'm repeating, we have to leave it. They call it al-mira. What is mira? Useless argument. Husband and wife, all night chatting and debating and I don't know what you call that, disputing. For what? Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, leave al-mira even if you are right. Because it's not a sign of iman. You just argue for nothing till you end up with hatred. And some argument end up with talaq, or fight, or killing. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you leave that argument for the sake of Allah, Allah will build for you a house in Jannah. Because once you stop argue, as Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that I will guarantee for him house in Jannah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make your opinion the highest by itself, not by you. And then we got some other thing we have to leave also. We have to leave it totally. That riba and haram money. Haram money, it's very easy to make it. But where's the guarantee that this money will remain? And where's the barakah of this one? Brothers, sisters in Islam, we have to teach our children that little halal is better than that haram which we see people enjoy it around us. Another thing we have to leave it, brothers and sisters in Islam, looking at haram, lowering our gaze and not watching the haram. Especially those who are watching the media or that haram on the Facebook or that Instagram or all this thing there. Nadar, looking at the haram, it's sin. And it's not a small sin or minor sin, it's a major sin. That ghaddul basar is a command of Allah. To lower your gaze is a command of Allah. If you don't lower your gaze, and then you don't look, you don't stop looking at haram, you will miss something, you notice it, the nur of the face. And then you will miss something, it's called ladhatul ibadah, the pleasure and the enjoyment of ibadah. You don't feel your salat and zakat and hajj. And then you lose something which is very important, all of us we need it, we call it farasatul mu'min, the intellectual power of the Muslim. You won't have that sense of understanding. So we have to teach our children that is not a small look or small haram, it is a major sin and you are losing. Why the children nowadays, they don't do well in the school? Because they have that cell phone or that computer, they're watching the haram thing. So it's called farasa, the aql, become a standard. It destroyed that brain or that nur and the fitrat of Allah, which Allah placed it in our heart. Another thing we have to leave immediately, something is called stinginess, bukhul. Bukhul, stinginess, you know, we got something is called bukhul, and we got something is called shuh. What is bukhul? Bukhul, stinginess, you don't want to spend to the other. Shuh, you don't want to spend on yourself. Look at the Quran, how beautifully put it. Number one, the bukhul, you will never enter Jannah. Allah said, O Jahannam, we're not allowed to accept the stingy in you. Bakhil, that stingy person, he will miss something very important, it's called the love of the people. And then he will miss that the place which is in Jannah. And then he will miss and lose the love of Allah, and then his sin very hardly to be forgiving. So we have to understand the stinginess and the shuh. The worst one is the shuh, because even that person doesn't want to spend on himself. And they say the shahih, that miser person, is very generous. Very generous. We ask the ulama why. He said he's collecting fully to someone else, not for himself. Bakhil, stingy person, he can eat but don't want the others to come and eat. Or he can make spend on himself but he don't want to spend for the other. But the shahih, that shuh, he doesn't want even to spend on himself. And say, oh, what a good man, you done favor for your own laws. So you leave the money full to someone else and you will miss Jannah and then you will face the adab of Allah. Another thing we have to teach ourselves and we have to encourage ourselves, we must leave it now. It's called arrogance and pride. I don't know why the people always calling the arrogance honor, dignity, self-respect. I don't know why you're mixing. Whenever I go and talk, people say, Sheikh, there is something that's called dignity, honor. No. I'm not talking about that. Honor doesn't allow you to elevate yourself and disregard anyone else. No. The honor when Allah elevates your honor, not you. One man came to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulallah, people, annas, madhuhum zayn, wa dhammuhum shayn. People are praising us, oh, we become on the sky. When the people criticize us, we come down, down the underground. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, never, ذَلِكَ هُوَ اللَّهِ. No, never. That's only Allah when He do so. When Allah praise you, you are up. When Allah criticize you in Quran, you are down. Not people. So many people being praised by people, but they are very low in the eyes of Allah. And many people, they were criticized, discriminate, oh, people lower them, but in the eyes of Allah, very high. Man tawadha lillah, if you humble yourself for the sake of Allah, rafa. Rafa, it means Allah will elevate, not the people. And we did see in our life, the managers and the boss and chairperson and all that, people elevate him, but after he resigned or retired, they don't care about him. Another thing we have to say tonight, that women must leave it now. They call it migrating, leaving the bedding of the husband. That one here, I don't know what to do. I'm on radio now. I don't want to talk something strange. There's nothing. It's called, I will punish my husband that he will never touch me for 3 days. I will let him suffer. Impossible. Impossible. Because you gain the anger of Allah, the curse of Allah, till you come back. So there is nothing in school, I will leave the house and go to my mommy's house, or I will sleep with it in the children's room, or I will never let this man touch me. That is bad. We leave that one because it's a curse for the women. But this man don't appreciate, this man is shaitan. You did marry that shaitan, and you have to sleep there on the same place. Brother and sister in Islam, that's what we have to say. There is nothing, it's called women punishing men to leave the bed and to let him suffer. No, that is not allowed. I know my engineer is laughing, I don't know why. You are not married, so it doesn't cause a problem for you. So, what I am saying, no way for any Muslim woman claim that she's practicing deen to punish the husband that she must leave the bed and sleep somewhere else and refuse. And the ulama said that Nabi Muhammad said, even if she's traveling on camel, if you call her, she must come down. We got nice hijrah. If you do it, we'll appreciate. When you leave the bedding for tahajjud, you ask him permission, mashallah. You leave your beloved husband, you just accompany the Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So inshallah, will you ask your husband to go for tahajjud and in the musalla. Then we got something also Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to leave. It's called bad companies, bad friends. Every evil in our life is because of our bad friends. How you know that this person is bad? Because we love our friends and we don't know how to evaluate them. The friends, a real friend, when you see him, you remember Allah. And when he sees you, he reminds you about Allah. So if you have one friend like that, you're lucky. The one is the one who encouraged you to practice deen. But we have a friends now, when we see them, we forgot Allah. So leave this friend, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will become your friend. Allah will compensate and replace that one with a good friend. Another thing, we ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, may Allah make it easy for us to do that. It's called anger. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the sahabi asked him, what should I do? He said, la taghdab. Do not get angry. So he asked him again, what else? He said, do not get angry. Don't be angry. The reason, you know, the anger, angry men, is not stable. And now ask those who are standing by the door of the Mufti begging him for the 3 talaq. See how many emails and phone calls and SMSs people are crying. You just want to find a way how to get my wife back. I don't mean it. I was angry. No, I was threatening her. My friend, you know the Mufti said it very clear. 3 pullet is 3 pullet, not one. No, but I said them one shot, one gathering. My friend, it's 3 pullet. Okay, leave the talaq and divorce. How many people, because of anger, they lost their job? He can hold. How many people, because of their anger, they humiliated themselves for apology? They stand there in the front of the court, wishing that this person just give him maaf. Regretting after anger is worse than the anger itself. So, let us leave the anger for the sake of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Another thing, brothers and sisters in Islam, we have to leave the revenge. Once you leave the revenge, Allah will grant you sharhu sadr. You know this hadith? Rabbi shrah li sadri, wa yassir li amri, wahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Sharhu sadr, it means you have a clean heart so that you have enough time to make ibadah and you make a genuine ibadah. And then, we have to leave something very, very important. What is that? Hasad. What is hasad? Envy. What is that envy? We got hasad. It means you object the taqdeer of Allah. Muslim not allowed to be envier at all. Because Muslim believe that everything done by the permission of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The ulama said, envier is sick, and the one who gave sickness to himself, the envier. Another thing also, that we have to leave something, it's called ishq. Don't get stuck with some love or some habit. I'm telling you, especially my young boys and girls who are listening, don't get stuck with that habit, because now you will be jailed on that type of habit. Some people stuck with soccer, and then he can leave salah to run and watch soccer. Someone stuck with the music, or someone stuck with the computer. Don't go deeper on that, because you will have something it's called hawa. When you have ishq, or that lust, or that love, oh, you're dying. You're dying every day. Reason? Because you have some zilla, humiliation. Zilla to satisfy that. Ask those who are smoking. Oh, if he doesn't have that cigarette, or those on the drugs. You see, they sell their honor to have, may Allah save our children from the, any type of drugs and alcohol. Brother and sister in Islam, is zilla. The disgrace of the sin. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, once he sees you that stuck with the love more than Allah, Allah deprive you from the love of Allah. You won't enjoy the ibadah. Another thing, brother and sister in Islam, if we leave all what I have told you now lillahi tabarak wa ta'ala, and then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will compensate you, he will replace that love to something else, and then what about those people who don't want to listen to me, and he's insisting to do so, and then he doesn't want to give it to Allah, and then the person will try to defend and try to justify that type of act and that love, and you fight Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to do that type of lust or that type of haram love. So look at this one here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. When the person got that idea of haram, if he doesn't stop it, if he does not stop it, so Allah will let him go for another step. What is called that? Having niyyah to do it, intention to do it. If he doesn't stop it, so Allah put you on another degree. It's called you come closer to it. لا تقربوا الزنا. If you don't hold and you try to find a plan to stop, you will do it, but little bit fear and regret. If you don't make tawbah, no, Allah will take you to another stage. It's called do it with fear but no regret. If you don't make tawbah on this stage, you will go for another stage. You will do it with no regret, no fear. If you don't stop, you will go for another status. You will feel happy when you do it. And then if you don't stop here, you will go to another degree. You will try to be a professional to make it and to gain it. And then, if you don't stop here also, you will move to another stage. It's called, you have fear to leave it. And you try to defend it, and try to cause fight and you stand to defend it, and you make that person who stop you as an enemy. And then, if you don't stop and find a way, you will do it even if you don't need it. May Allah save us from that, because it's very bad. You find an old man, 80 years, is running for zina, so you don't need it. And then if you don't stop here, there is something very bad. They call it, you die with it. بَلَا مَنْ كَسَبَ سَيِّئَةً وَأَحَاطَتْ بِهِ خَطِيئَةً. Indeed, the one who gained the haram and he's been encompassed and surrounded with his khati'ah, his guilt. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish him in the day of Qiyamah, not like any normal person, because we know that this person did stand against the wish of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from any thought of haram or any action of haram, niyat of haram, or practicing the haram. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for those who get stuck with that haram. May Allah habib ilayhimul iman wa zayyinhu fi qulubihim wa karrih ilayhimul kufra wal fusuqa wal asyan. This dua very important for those who stuck with the haram. Oh Allah, Allahumma habib ilayna al-iman wa zayyinhu fi qulubina. Oh Allah, make it iman a lovely thing and beautify it in our heart. Beautify, let me enjoy the iman. Wa karrih ilayna al-kufra wal-fusuqa wal-asyan. And let us hate and let us dislike the kufr and fusuq, which is a transgressor, wal-asyan, disobedience. And oh Allah, make us amongst Rashidin. Brother and sister in Islam, very important, we understand now that, look at how beautiful is our deen, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the secret of our nafs, secret of our desire, and Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows us how to get rid of that problem. There is nothing, it's called non-treatable sickness. There is a treatment in Islam. For every sickness there is a medication, there is a treatment. And then we go for the main one, it's called ghibat. Gossiping and backbiting. Imam al-Qurtubi, he said the entire ulama of the ummah, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, Imam al-Shafi, all the ulama, they agree that it is a major sin. That chatting, that talking about person, ghibat, or gossiping, or backbiting, is not a small thing. It's a major sin. The ulama calculated 7,000 evil of the tongue. The biggest one of them is ghibat. You die with one, you suffer on the fire of Jahannam. Every day, the organs, your body says to the tongue, fear Allah, because we are because of you. If you come right, we will come right. وَإِنْ عَوَجَجْتَ عَوَجَجْنَا. If you disobey Allah, we disobey Allah. Ummatul Islam, kufr is a word, and iman is a word, talaq is a word, killing is a word, zulm is a word, and sijin and imprisonment is a word. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Do not backbite one another. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ. One of you loves to eat the flesh of his brother, mayta, dead. فَكَرِهْتُمُ, you dislike it. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, fear Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Indeed Allah is the most repenting and most merciful. We believe, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Any word you utter, it's recorded. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a real Muslim, man salima al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadih. A true Muslim, that the Muslim which Muslims are saved from the evil of his tongue and his hand. One man came to Rasulullah, said, Ya Rasulullah, what is the safety? He said, amsik alayka lisanak. Hold your tongue. Wal yasa'ka baytuk. Stay in your house. Wabki ala khatiyatik. Regret and cry for what you have done. Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Mu'adh, shall I tell you that all the conclusion of nasiha, All the conclusion of the nasiha, the main nasiha and advice, kuffa alayka hadha, just stop that. Stop the tongue from uttering ghibat. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, does it cause a problem, that tongue? He said, oh, Mu'adh, don't you know that the people will be dragged on the fire of Jahannam on their faces only because of the harvest and the collection of their tongue? Brother and sister in Islam, Sayyidina Jabir ibn Abdullah, he said, I was with Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we did realize that very dirty and bad smell wind come to us. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do you know what is that wind? This is the wind or the smell of those who backbite the Muslims. Ummatul Islam, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the journey of Isra wal Mi'raj, he saw the people got long nails from copper. And then they're scratching and they're digging in their face and their chest. And Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Jibreel, who are these people? He said, those who are eating the flesh of the people, and then especially those who accuse others on their honor. And when you talk about zina. So sisters in Islam, brothers in Islam, how do you know that you are involved on that? You must know that ghibat, when you mention your brother with something, he doesn't like it if he heard it. Even if he got that faulty or that problem. If you got it, it's called ghibat. If he doesn't have it, they call it buhtan, lies. So, how you know that is ghibat? Yeah, you talk, maybe you're describing the body, how he looks, fat, hair, short, black, white, like this. Maybe also, you backbite him because of his lineage, his tribe and his race, Indian, fasiq, dirty, all that. And then, his attitude, you don't like his attitude, stingy, arrogant, coward, weak. Or maybe you accuse his deen, liar, crook, cheating, zalim, is not pure, munafiq, he doesn't know deen, is committing adultery. You must make sure, you can't accuse like that. Maybe you accuse him because of dunya. He has no manner, talk too much, sleep too much, is very silly. And the ulama said, watch out. He say his sleeves is big, or his clothes is dirty, or his kitchen is dirty. So ghibat is not only words. You can make ishara, you can make sign language. You make humaza lumaza, action or words. Maybe you write about it, or you imitate him, is also backbiting. Right? Aisha radiallahu anha, she was doing some action, and she said, this lady, she's short. Nabi Muhammad said, you backbite this woman. Make istighfar quickly. Imitating the person is also backbiting. And then, pencil, the pen, when you write, is also tongue, is another tongue. When you type on chatting on the internet or on Facebook, it's also backbiting. We know that kullu al-muslimi ala al-muslim haram. Everything on a Muslim upon another Muslim is haram. His blood, his wealth, his honor. Some people, they make backbite because they show off. They call it in psychology drob. What is drob? You just want to take your problem and give it to someone else. Because sometimes you accuse the person to elevate yourself. And then backbiting because you got false taqwa. You have false taqwa. You don't have taqwa, but you pretend that you have taqwa. Now the ulama said, you're scared of eating the dead body of the chicken, but you're not scared of eating the dead, the life meat, or the dead meat of human being. Brother and sister in Islam, be careful of ghibat. It is a major sin, and it will destroy our hasanat. They call it the virus of hasanat on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala make it easy for us to fulfill the haqq of our Muslim brothers. Unfortunately, my sound engineer tonight he asked me to stop. خلاص, my time is up. Inshallah, we'll continue next week. شكرا جزيلا. Till we see you inshallah next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.